Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, Raiders defeat Manly. Now, it's Manly home game, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay. it just got Raiders here first, so I was like, what the hell am I wigging out here?
Apparently the Raiders have won their last 9 games the week after being held to nil.
Yep. Now that, so random stats guy, he put up a post of all the bounce back games they've had. Random stats guy, one of the all-time big lifts in rugby league.
He's part of the SC Playbook family now.
Join the team this year.
Really? Join the team?
Yeah, okay. Doing a bit of everything for us. Pottying, writing, doing everything.
Oh, I like that.
He's a weapon.
Okay. So the SC empire is building.
Yeah, we're growing, mate. he'd be a near lock in the content creators bloat team of the year as well.
Now he's a...
He might skipper.
Yeah,
he's a the most underappreciated content creator in the game because every big podcast sources him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, whereas all other podcasts don't usually source each other because, like, they just don't. Whereas every, even like, I think on mainstream, he's getting brought up on, oh, yeah, random stats go on the.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. And NRL Physio. Him and NRL Physio are probably the most underappreciated content creators in
the
game.
If you're putting a team together as well, actually a very handy player on the field, man of the match in the charity game at the start of the year.
Can move.
He plays first grade. Granted, it is rugby union, so it doesn't really count, but first grade union in Sydney is a gun.
His hips do not lie.
They don't lie.
He also featured in the 2013 North Sydney Bears Harold Matthews team, left wing.
Oh, really? Fucking hell.
Could he have been anything?
Could he have been
He could have been anything.
Oh, wow. And he decided to be a stats guy.
Yeah.
You know what else don't lie? Stats. that should be his slogan. My hips don't lie, and you know what else don't? Stats.
I like it.
All right, let's get into it, shall we? The Mighty Raiders. This is a game of genuine polar opposites when it comes to analysing it. What an incredible performance by the Raiders and what a really poor performance by Manly. Like, you know, unfortunately for Manly, this loss, just like the Broncos loss, has been coming for a while now. We speak about it ad nauseum. You don't sort your defence out. Things like this happen. 20-0 up at one stage, 20-0 up at home with the squad they've got, playing the way they were playing, and then they end up losing to a Raiders side who, you know, I hate to stick the boot into the Rabbitohs, but the Raiders, like, they've lost their key half. They got two guys in there that are barely halves themselves, 18 and 19 years old, like young as anything. They got a fullback that's not a fullback. They got, like, they are struggling right now. And basically, as soon as Fogarty goes down, everyone just goes, you know, season over. And the Raiders just go, look, like when I'm listening to Ricky's talk, especially after last week's game, he didn't admit defeat, but he was like, we got some young guys in this side, we've got a plan, and we're sticking to it. And so that's not necessarily admitting defeat, but it is saying, like, look, I understand we're not in a position to be playing anywhere near what we're going to play. But the Raiders go... That does not mean that we can't fight every game. And so they come out this week, and what an incredible win. Riding them all the way home. It was amazing to see it happen all in real time. And just see it happen in a way where you're going, where are they going to get their points? Like, how? Like, They got two teenagers in the halves who are at the very least at sixes, as I said, arguably other positions. And you go, where are they going to get their points? And they get their points just from pure effort. Literally just from pure effort. Incredible performance by the Raiders. Timmy?
Yeah, where are they going to get their points from? It's a veteran back rower in his first full game back of the season. Elliot Whitehead taking an intercept, flicking behind his back in wet conditions to score a try. And that's the kind of weird shit the Raiders do. They just hang in games more often than not. They had in the last couple of weeks. And they just find ways. Like, even in this, there was tries off intercepts, a lot of tries off kicks. There was nothing methodical, nothing mechanic about the way they scored their tries with sweeping backline movements. That's not what the Raiders are. Mm. They just find a way to score them. Weird game of football. Like, after two poor weeks, to be down 20-0 after about 25 minutes, you're just going, oh, dear Lord, this is going to get ugly.
Yeah.
And they just find a way to hang in games and, like, completed at 85%. That's what we touched on for a while. With Fogarty out and a lack of probably spark in the back line, they've just got to complete high, play high percentage footy and just find offloads, find tries off kicks, and they can grind away and win games. So to come back and show the fight that they did in this one, it was so good to watch as a supporter, but weird game of football.
Yeah, very weird game of footy. But, you know, I know all the, you know, the kicks and, you know, kind of random ways they scored, but you've got to make the effort to put yourself in the position to score those tries. You know, like, a lot of other teams wouldn't have had the grit or the fight to go, all right, we're parked down in Manly's end. We can't find a try for us to save our lives. But our effort has just put us in the position that the bounce of the ball might go our way. And it went their way. Like, they earned the right for that to happen.
And they're down 20-0 in a game in the wet, in terrible conditions. And you just look at it. They've got one of the best long kicking aids, veteran half, Daly Cherry Evans against him. It's like, he'll kick their way home from this. They're not going to give up this lead. Like, how do they do it? Look at two Raiders halves who, in my opinion, are playing out of position. Kicking games, definitely not their strength. They just found a way.
You know, I mean, yeah, I'm guilty of it as well, as Tim just said. Oh, weird shit happens. It's been happening for 5 years. This is who they are.
Mm.
Even when they made the grand final, like, you'd sit there and you'd watch a game and go, okay, Jack Whiten's put three out on the full. They've kicked it into shins 80% of the time and they've managed to soccer their way to three tries. Like, they've been doing this for years.
Yeah. So you've got to put yourself in the position for that to happen.
You make your own luck.
The best example of that is Hudson Young, one of our most durable players the last few years and probably our best player for a few years on the trot now, comes up with a match winner. He does this time and time and time again.
So many times.
Because he keeps putting himself in the position to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to give KO Weeks a wrap, you know. Would have been pretty hard being brought down to the club, essentially tacitly given the, you know, you're going to be our six with Fogarty, gets beaten by a teenager to that jersey. I mean, I know he's also young. And so it could have been very easy for him to sook, put his head down, like, this is what I came here for. Now I'm playing bloody New South Wales Cup. If I'm going to play New South Wales Cup, I may as well be back up in, you know, where I live. Mm-hmm. He came in, and was it pretty? Was it, you know, Joey Johns at his best, you know, just tearing teams apart? But he had a red-hot crack. He did the best with the tools that he has, and it was bloody good. It was bloody good. He just got it done. Somehow, some way, he didn't try and play like someone that he's not. He just went, you know what? This is the kind of player I am. I'm going to put that best foot forward, and he nailed it.
That, you can't knock him. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Once again, is he the perfect seven? No, not even close to it. But this is how Ricky builds his footy. Jack was never the perfect 5'8" either. Mm. But they build around what they – I think that's what I've always loved about Ricky is that he coaches the team he has, not the team he wants.
Mate, he had nearly double the kicking meters DCE had.
Mm. What?
Like, most bizarre thing ever.
And, and you sit there and go, like, KO Weeks, you know, terrified him having him in the halves moving forward long term because I – even though he had some good moments in that, he just looked to me like an out-and-out fullback, not a halves player.
Yeah.
But – you know, well, I think he was signed as a 5'8", but I definitely think he's playing out of position. And you said, Kemp, he did the best with the tools and the arsenal that he has. Mm. And at the end of the day, all you can ask for is effort from these players. And he came in and he gave it a red-hot crack the entire game. Mm. The try set up for, I think it was Nick Kotchick with that kick on second tackle, and you're like, if that gone went wrong at a key stage of the game, could have been crucified, but he went for it, he backed it, came off, and it ended up, you know, getting us home, essentially, or getting us back into the fight. So, yeah, don't love the halves long term, but you can't question the effort.
Well, so DC had 9 kicks. He had 15. So DC had 9 kicks for 296 metres. And he had 15 kicks for 426 metres. So, like, I understand, you know, sometimes the game doesn't work out, that, you know, so that you actually get a lot of kicks or long kicks or whatever. But at the same time, I don't think any of us would have been sitting here going, he's going to have more kicks than DCE and he's going to kick more metres. No one would have predicted that before a game, especially in wet weather footy. And maybe it turned out that way because, you know, DCE didn't need to kick because they just kept scoring for that first half. But at the same time, like, they both played 80 minutes. And I'm not sitting here, like, not pretending like he's a better kicker. That's what I'm making as a point, is that no one would have predicted that going forward. But he just went in there and said, look, I'm just going to have a crack. I'm going to have a dig. And that's what the Raiders players do. Like, yeah, okay, they fall off here and there. And last week, that wasn't that great. But very rarely do they go like a month of footy where you'd go, you know what, the Raiders identity is no longer there. So, yeah, I thought, you know, he was great. I thought, we spoke about him earlier, but Chris, isn't he just like a... You kind of like, you watch a game and doesn't necessarily do anything incredible and you're sitting there, like you watch Tomoko and you go, holy heck, this kid is a beast. Well, you watch Chris and you go, yeah, okay. And then you look down and you go, mate, the bloke's ran for 200 metres. And you go, where did that come from? And I feel like he does that most games where a lot of his stuff is like accumulative. It's like a lot of real, like Tomoko can have plays where it's just like, that's a game-breaking play. Whereas I think with Chris, he'll have like, 3 or 4 8 out of 10 plays that not necessarily game breaking, but when you add them all together, they've shifted momentum to a degree.
Yeah, and he's a good, you can probably tell the story better to me, but I'm pretty sure during COVID, he went home to New Zealand. They pretty much had to convince him to come back, didn't they? He sort of want to give the game.
Yeah, it was contracted, and they basically just gave me like a leave of absence for a year to go and get whatever's going on with him. I don't know personally, but sorted. He just wasn't, I don't think, in the right space to be playing at NRL level. And credit to the Raiders. They said, mate, go and get whatever's needed done. Comes back a year later and you're going, does he have what it takes in the NRL? And he's just exceeded. He's been Mr. Fix-It for us the last 2 years. Oh, yeah.
Sticky would love him because they just put him wherever they need someone and he always does a great job. Like not too many times where you're like, geez, he was quiet or had a bad game. He just does whatever he's needed to.
And every time they have injuries or whatnot, you know, I always hear these whispers of, oh, Sepp Chris could play 5'8". I'd love to see it.
Just see what happens.
Even when he
was getting moved to fullback, I was like, nah, I don't know about that one. Then he goes back there. Like, yeah, is he a mad ball player or whatever? But he makes it work.
Well, when he got moved to fullback, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Sepp Chris is our fullback. Like, I like him as a center, but not as a fullback. He did a little bit of shifting. He spent a little bit of time there on the weekend. I was like, oh, sweet, Seb's at fullback. I'm like, we'll be right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know what's funny is like a Rapana, who is like a, you know, almost a club legend, at least a cult hero, very similar vein. Like you go, oh, Rapana at fullback. Like, I don't know about that. And then you watch the game and you're like, he was pretty bloody good. Yeah. Like it was very unorthodox and some things worked, some things didn't. But I tell you what, every time he had the ball, the defence had a headache. They're sitting there going, how do you kind of work this bloke out?
We're missing Jordan Rapana.
Oh, massively.
I just love how comfortable the Raiders are with being unorthodox.
Yeah.
Let's go, sweet. We'll play a little bit rogue, but we're going to be tough as fucking nails. You're going to have to beat us.
Yeah. I thought Kotrick had some really strong carries initially. I know he had, I think, one error. Was it one error? No, he actually had no errors. Maybe it was an offload that he did. But anyway, I thought Kotrick, for a guy that a few years ago was the winger, kind of fell off a little bit when he went to the Bulldogs, came back. I thought he was all right at times.
I thought he was excellent. I thought even defensively, him and Timoko on the edge, they jammed and shut down a lot of situations where they were just swinging to, I think it was Brooksy's edge, and they'd hit Tommy Turbo at the back. They just picked their times to jam every time. They shut it down just about every time. So I thought Nicky Kotrick had one of his best games in a while.
He was a real handful as well, especially towards the end of the game. Very hard to tackle.
He
got his arms loose a few times and got the ball away. But I thought he looked really good.
Yeah, I remember the year when he had more tackle breaks, I'm pretty sure, than Teddy.
He was a kangaroo winger.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And he's still, I think, 24. He's really young. When he made his Origin debut, I think it was like 20, 21. He's 25.
Oh, geez.
So he's still really.
He's 25 now.
Yeah. So he's got plenty of footy left in him. Morgan Smithy, 43 tackles, 0 misses. Jesus.
This season, he's made 339 tackles and missed 9 in his first season in the NRL playing big minutes.
Wow.
And when he's not playing big minutes, they look bang average.
I thought Trey Mooney had quite a bit of impact when he came on. I thought he was really good in contact. I think that you're looking at Trey Mooney and you're seeing him start to kind of build into his man body. I think, you know, the last year or two when he's coming to first grade, you could kind of tell there's a big bopper there with heaps of talent, but I don't know whether he's physically ready to kind of go with that talent. I think the more we're seeing of him, you know, lately, like especially on the weekend, like he's winning most of those contact battles, which is what you would have expected when he's coming through.
I'd love to sit down with someone from the Raiders and hear their plan for Trey Mooney. Like I've been looking at him the last few weeks, going, "Fuck, he would be a perfect trade bait for another side,
mate." If I'm the Doggies, like, mate, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Like Corey Horsburgh's going to return over the next few weeks. He just and you know they've got other guys there like Atamariata's going a million. Emre Gould looks good. Sami Solo, every time he plays, I love him. I've just been looking at Trey for a few weeks thinking, geez, surely he'd be the perfect guy to try and do like a player swap or whatever it might be.
You know, I hate to say it, but like imagine him at the Panthers, what would happen there? Like I think they'd have a plan for him because we're not talking about just a young guy that was pretty good coming through the grades and, you know, he's playing some good footy. This is a kind of player that would have been earmarked from probably 13 or 14 years old of like this kid is one of the best in his age group. So I'm sure they've got a plan for him. I mean, I'd be shocked if they didn't.
I'd love to see the Panthers just pick any of these guys that are outside their starting 13 because there's talent in all of them. Mariota, Mooney, Gula, Sami Solo's been great every time he's played.
Do you think Papali'i retires that maybe? Because Adam Mariota has probably got the jump on him, but if you think Papali'i retires, it brings him straight into that squad, maybe even starting?
This will be his last year or is he?
Papas.
Yeah.
Nothing official, I don't think.
If we're getting close,
well,
surely.
I put it this way. I think the rubber's going to meet the road pretty soon with Trey Mooney.
Yeah.
I think there are enough clubs out there where the Raiders are going to have to make a decision of whether it's this year or next year because I think he's contracted till next year.
Yeah, it's a mutual option. So mutual option. I'll sit down to talk about
it. So I think the Raiders are going to have to really make a hard and fast decision of like, okay, are we going to be playing this guy in first grade every week or, you know, in 2025? Because I'm assuming Trey Mooney and his manager are sitting there going, okay, I want to be patient. I love the club. It's been great. But I'm assuming by 2025, they're probably going to want to be in that starting 17 each week.
Definitely.
You know, so I, for rugby league's sake and for the Raiders' sake, I'm a big fan of the Raiders. I hope he stays because I don't think we've even seen close to how much he's going to impact games when he does.
Well, there's a reason the Raiders, despite not giving him a lot of game time because of the depth in our forward pack, there's a reason they've held on to him and they aren't releasing him to go play first grade more regularly elsewhere. Like, they obviously have a high opinion of him.
Yeah, for sure. I think that once he gets his real man strength and kind of, you know, I guess just knows. Sometimes you watch front rowers and I think Tarpin is a really good example of that. Like, knowing when to take that tough carry where it's like aggressive and heaps of post-contact meters, but then also knowing when to use footwork, knowing when to find your front. Like, he's so good at kind of picking his moments. And I think when Mooney gets that real good balance of that hyper-aggression mixed in with I'll tip on here or some footwork there, or instead of running at someone, run in between players, I think he's going to do some big, big damage. Yeah. Big, big damage.
When's Jordan Rapata due back? Is he not too far
away? Wouldn't be long, yeah. He wasn't out like long, long term. So
be interesting to see. Obviously, coach Ricky Stewart rested Chevy Stewart on the weekend. He didn't play reserve grade either. They've got a bye this week coming. The week after that, they play the Friday night at Magic Round. Interesting to see what Ricky does there.
It says round 11, which I think is Magic Round. For Rapana.
Yes, it is Magic Crown. Yep. Okay.
So you think Chevy might get called back in?
Oh, no, I'm just wondering what Ricky will do. I mean, he came out and said that he's rested him this week. So do you give him 2 weeks to prepare to come back into first grade?
I think he's with Chevy. He's probably... I'd be surprised if he gets called back in for the next few weeks. I know Ricky said he's resting him. And look, if he says that, then that must be the truth. But I think there is a world where he said that to protect him from being, you know, dropped or whatever. But he might be looking at Chevy going, you know what? Great debut. You know, struggled in the next couple of games. Just need probably a little bit longer in New South Wales Cup and then I'll bring you back up. I think that's my opinion anyway. Like, really, really good debut. Probably a little bit early for him in first grade. But he's definitely got what it takes to be a first grader.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me question is that he didn't play him in New South Wales Cup on the weekend.
Yeah, potentially. You could bring him back in. What do you reckon, Timmy? Do you reckon he brings Chevy back in? Or
honestly, don't know. I don't know what he'll do.
Mm. Interesting. I, if I'm a betting man, I think he doesn't. But, hey, I've been wrong once before in my life. So
once? When was that? Warriors 13 plus?
Well, I was without the information that I needed. I didn't know it was going to be fucking hurricane out there. I didn't know that the Warriors weren't going to fucking turn up. I didn't know they weren't going to get off the bus. That was under the assumption Warriors got off the bus. Clearly, they didn't.
When's the time you've been wrong the most?
Picking you, mate.
Yes.
Not unfair.
Okay, on to Manly. Great, incredible win from Raiders. And, you know, just showing us that we always talk about team cultures and club DNA and jerseys and all that kind of stuff. They have a DNA. They have a club culture to rely on. And those 17 blokes on the weekend fulfilled that incredibly well. On to Manly. Extremely disappointing. It's one of those games where you're going to look back at the end of the year, and if let's say they're like hovering around the top four, and you're going, why? Like, how did we not win that game? Then you go back to the Eels game that they lost, and you're going, that's 18-0. We were 18-0 up there. I think there's been three or four games where they've been minimum 16-0 up, and they've lost those games. That is a real, real problem for Manly. Like, that's not just a one-off situation that happens. That's a genuine issue. That's a genuine concern. And we've been speaking about it quite a while. Their defense needs a mass. I don't know if it needs an overhaul, but it needs a shot in the arm. Something needs to change because their defense is just nowhere near where it needs to be. They should, with the players they've got, they get 16-0 up. You shouldn't be coming even close to them in a game of rugby league, at least if you're not a top four side. Really disappointing. And I know as a Manly fan, you're going to sit there and go, yeah, well, hang on a sec. You know, we scored 24 points and we were 20-0 up. And so we can score points and we can be in it. But it's like, I'm not talking about Manly as a bottom eight side anymore. I'm talking about them as a top eight side. And so if you're okay with them kind of having this really inconsistent year where they're up for 2 or 3 weeks and then down for a couple of weeks, then sweet. But I'm looking at them going, if you make the right tweaks, you're a top four side. You're genuinely a top. At the very least, you're challenging for top four. So a really disappointing week for Manly, in my opinion.
Yeah, completely agree. And we sort of spoke about last week. Are they the real deal or not? And there was parts in this game where I thought, okay, maybe they are.
Yeah.
But then you walk away from this one, it's just another example of potentially why they're not. And I'm far from convinced this Manly side. And I know they beat Penrith a couple of weeks ago. I get that. But I'm far from convinced that come September, they're going to be able to beat the top sides.
Do you get the feeling they're kind of hanging their hat on that a little bit? Like,
potentially, yeah.
I don't. It's just they look to me like a team that, yeah, they look like that. Okay, we've got a couple of big scalps this year. Roosters, Penrith, we're good. We're good to go here. Whereas, like, they're further. Well, not further as from good to go, but at the moment they're playing like a team that will be fighting for a spot between 6 and 10. But on paper, and when they click, they are a top four side, and that should be the expectation. Each week, the consistency should be there. You know, I know Penrith are the end goal for every team. So I get I'm talking about the Penrith Panthers. But what do we always say about the best teams? Even when they play poorly, they still find a way to win, or they still keep the score low. With the Dogs on the weekend, they didn't play that well. Like, they really didn't. They looked, in my opinion, they looked nowhere near as concise and, you know, all that stuff. But at the same time, they do look like a side that has a minimum standard that they refuse to drop below. And guess what kept them in that game? It was just ball control and their defense. Really strong defense and ball control. And you look at Manly, and unfortunately, they're going into games basically saying, you know, this is a shootout. This is a shootout. We'll score more points than you want. It's hard to do that over a whole season. What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah. Naturally, I think Anthony Seibold will be very disappointed with the result because it's not a game they should have let slip, and they should have been able to close it out, particularly with the experience of Cherry Evans, the kicking game of Cherry Evans, and just the massive lead they had. But I'm probably not as critical in terms of the performance because of the way the Raiders scored their points. They conceded one line break all game. They conceded tries off the Elliot Whitehead intercept. They conceded tries off kicks. I don't like the majority of tries off kicks / intercept. So defensively, I don't think it was as bad as it looked. Yes, they let the game slip. They need to work on a few things, but I don't think it was probably as bad as it has been made out.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree. I think the fact that the Raiders had you camped in your half with a game on the line, like, The Manly should be able to blast through that. Absolutely, just go. Yep, we'll take that pressure and just take you down the other end and just keep you there. They've got Dally Cherry Evans, Tommy Trbojevic, Jake Trbojevic. You know, yeah, I think it's really disappointing. What do you reckon, Hammy?
Yeah, I think it's very disappointing as well. I can't really work out. They're winning so many games that you don't really expect them to win, but then they're losing all the ones that you would expect them to win. Very difficult team to work out. They had 12 more missed tackles, 35-23 than the Raiders the other day. That wasn't great. They had more errors as well. I think KO Weeks found a little bit of joy going to the air a little bit. They weren't great under the high ball a little bit as well. So I don't know, there's just a couple of things that are like pretty basic things that they're kind of getting wrong a little bit, which would be helping very much. But look, I don't know. That just very disappointing. Raiders gritty though, so you know, credit to them.
Yeah, and look, if this was against you know, a top tier side, you'd go, yeah, okay, these things happen. But unfortunately, this is like no disrespect to Raiders, but they're missing Rapana, Fogarty,
Horsburgh.
And it's a pattern too.
Yep.
So what is it? That was 16-0 up against 18-0 up against the Eels, 16-0 up against the Warriors, 20-0 up against, hey? Yeah, have a look. Like, it's a genuine concern. As I said, that's from me looking at them as a top eight side. If you're looking at them like, yeah, they'll be lucky to get in the top eight, then you go, okay, well, this is their style of play, this is the way they play. But, you know, even players like Tommy Turbo, I thought he was pretty poor, to be honest. Like,
it says one error. Position a couple of times, yeah, which is very un-Tommy-like.
It says he only has one error. I could have sworn he had multiple drop balls.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, I thought Tommy definitely didn't play anywhere near what we know he can play. Like, you know, not even close. I mean, he still had a try and a try assist. It's still Tom Trbojevic. Saab under the high ball, he struggled a bit, yeah. Didn't he? Had quite a few errors.
Three, I think.
Garrick was pretty good in attack. So that's a win.
That try, the early try of Tommy Turbo's with Luke Brooks was beautiful. Just divine.
And so,
They obviously went, like, KO Weeks, who'd come from Manly, and they had a clear early game plan to get at him in defence as well. Like, he spent most of his time playing at fullback at Manly, whether it was NRL or New South Wales Cup, straight at him, but they couldn't have pulled that off any better.
Well, if you go and you watch the week before that, the Raiders versus the Sharkies, there's a try that Nicho Hynes scored, and if you watch the way that KO Weeks defended on that play, Nicho Hynes is sort of, instead of straightening up, he went at the angle, but he could almost see the number on his back. He just turned his entire body, and you could see the fullback was floating on the outside. I reckon they watched that play and went from there. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So Manly were up 12-0 against the Eels and also up 18-6. They scored first against the Dragons. They're up 16-0 against the Warriors. They scored the first two tries against the Titans. Now, they won that game, but the Titans still come back, and then obviously on the weekend. So it's a trend.
Yeah, it's definitely a trend. So that's the negative stuff out of the way. The positive stuff, though, is that attack is slick. Like, it is slick. As you just mentioned, that Luke Brooks try assist. Like, what a benefit to have Brooksy at the club now, where not everything is on DCE. Like, that's where, when you're a defence and you're looking up and you go, okay, DCE is on this side, Brooks is on this side, and you're going, I don't know where they're going to throw the ball. So it just creates more and more space. So I think that the positives for Seagulls is that attack is just like slick as anything. Like, it genuinely, the attack for me is some of the best in the competition. I would say right now they're a top four attacking side when you just watch them. When they get into their plays, I mean, you could even say their plays-wise, they're a top two. Like, it was as far back as round one where they had the double drop-off. I know it got disallowed or whatever, but the double drop-off between Jake Trbojevic and Tom Trbojevic. Like, that attack is classy, so classy.
Especially once you get Olakau'atu back in the side, and I don't know whether he'll come straight back in the starting team or not, but having Ben Trbojevic in the back row.
Yeah.
He's back the next week or two.
It'll be interesting to see if he comes straight back in. I'm not convinced he will.
So you reckon Waddell will keep it? I didn't think Waddell had the best game on the weekend. He might play well.
I reckon Burbo will come off the bench.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Waddell on the weekend, a couple of errors, like, really... really poor
area. I thought outside of the weekend, though, he's been pretty good this
agreed,
year.
Agreed. Okay, so as I said, very disappointing loss. But the positive thing for Manly is, like, there is no question as to what the concern is.
Yeah.
They fix their defence and they're a premiership threat. That's I believe that. It's just a matter of can they do that?
One weird thing on the weekend, Ruben Garrick, usually safest houses off the King tee, missed three. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of sitters too. Very uncharacteristic.
So hopefully they can pull it together. Now, I think it was a couple of weeks ago where they had a similar-ish situation. I think Manly's gone off the rails a little bit. And then they came out, and who'd they play? And they fucking killed it. Oh, man.
Penrith? Back home?
Maybe it was Penrith. I don't know. But they came out and they killed it. So, you know, it's really early in the year. They got plenty of time to fix the problems. But
Warriors over there, or whoever it was, yeah.
Yeah. They got plenty of time to fix the issues. It's just a matter of, you know.
Yeah, they lost to the Dragons and then beat Penrith the next week.
Yeah, so it must have been that week where they came out.
I think we're going to be saying it all year with Manly, though. They're going to have their big wins. They're just a team. Like, they're going to – I feel like because they play so expansively and use the footy, there's going to be weeks where it doesn't go right.
Yeah.
And they're going to have their poor losses. And they said, Kempy, they'll probably be in that, you know, probably 5-8 range come finals time. You'd hate to get them on a dry track on a nice sunny day come finals, but the wetter it gets, the harder it is to use the ball, I think you'd feel a lot more confident. Well,
it's a good point. Like, if I look at all the teams in the top eight, you know, outside of the obvious answers of who you don't want to play, but you're really, like, Manly's one of those ones where you don't want to play because they can turn up and just put you to the sword. And heading into the game, you're sitting there going, oh, well, they're not the Roosters, they're not the Storm, they're not Panthers. So, like, you know, we should be able to handle these guys. And then they just come out and blow you off the
park.
And
they can do it quickly.
Really, really quickly. So, yeah, I've got him in my top eight now. At the start of the year, I didn't have him in my top eight. Definitely in my top eight now. But I don't have them as a premiership threat right now.
It's going to be an interesting few weeks for them. They take on the Dolphins this week, who are going great guns, at Suncorp. They then play the Broncos, which is a home game, but it's Magic Round, so it's at Suncorp. Mm. They then play the Melbourne Storm at Brookie. They have a bye. Then they play the Panthers. And then by that point, Turbo and DCE are going to go to Origin Camp. Mm. Olakau'atu might go to Origin Camp. So if they drop a few of these next four or five games, then they head into Origin without those boys. It could get interesting.
Well, if I'm Manly, I'm looking at Dolphins and Broncos as very winnable games.
Yep. You know,
Broncos obviously missing Adam Reynolds. Dolphins.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Manly are a better side than Dolphins, in my opinion. And I think Dolphins are above them on the ladder, though.
Yep, Dolphins are fourth. 4v5. What a game.
Yeah, what a game. Dolphins are – sorry, Manly, I think, are a better side. Like, if they were to meet in finals, I'd probably back Manly. So I'd be looking at that month of footy and going, okay, can we go 2 from 3? Because as you said, you need to get through that Origin period when you lose.
They need to bank wins now. Yeah. They've let a few slip that they shouldn't have, including the weekend.
But still, the good thing for Manly is they're further along than we thought they were going to be. And there is definitely potential for them to become a premiership threat, in my opinion.
And the other thing, touch wood, of course. No, don't want to jinx anything. Just Tommy Turbo's fit. He's got through all the games, played every game, hasn't looked to be any concerns, moving freely. So thankful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, disappointing night, but at the same time, there's plenty to look forward to in the year, you know. Like, they've got the side that can do some, make some moves in that top eight. It's just a matter of getting that sorted.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.